Hear the word of God, as it is written in the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 3, and it is on page 895 of most of the Pew Bibles. Page 895, Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now, you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all the things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Thanks be to God for this reading of his word. May he add his blessing to it, and to him be all honor and praise. Amen.
Last week we found out from the prophet Malachi that we need to be serious about this thing we call church. And that's because God is serious about us. One of the ways we show our children how much we care for them is to provide for them in a will, to leave them an inheritance so that their lives will be in some way blessed by what we could share with them. In the same way, we are all children of God, and he wants us to receive an inheritance. In our reading from Ephesians, it says, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Notice that that's in the past. It's something we've already received, not something we will receive some distant time in the future. And the Apostle Paul explains, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. In advance. And what is this inheritance we have already received? Paul describes it as the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. God's amazing grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is unmerited favor, meaning you do nothing to deserve it. This means God had a plan to bless his people from the get-go. It means God had a plan to save sinners all along. When sin entered the world, God wasn't surprised. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit didn't get together and say, who saw this coming? We better come up with a plan quick. No. All of this was part of a plan from the beginning, rather than a response to the effects of random causes. It means God is sovereign over everything. He is in charge, and he is in control of all of his creation. According to that great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, this is a doctrine hated by the world. For we struggle with a God who plans because our imperfect plans are constantly failing and being revised. Today, we struggle with a God having a plan we're not in control of, because we recognize how selfish we would be if we were in control. We struggle with a God who plans and executes his plan to perfection, because we don't see it all played out. We assume, seeing only a part, that we could make a better plan. We struggle with a God who plans most of all because we have one great value that trumps everything else: our free will, our choices, our decisions, our ability to choose the course of our life in this world. And we choose rebellion. And we choose because we think we know best, certainly better than God. But the only thing we plan for is our sin. Our will is sin. God's will is grace. Before the world was created, there was a plan. A plan of redemption and a plan of blessing in Christ Jesus. A plan that is very specific in what it proposes to accomplish, that we should be holy and blameless before God. Not that we already are or will one day choose to be. God knows we need a plan to be holy and blameless because we aren't, because we sin. God is serious about us. God is serious about you and about me. That's why there is God's plan of salvation. God wrote down his will, in a book called the Bible. A book that so easily could be called God's plan of salvation for Mary, for David, for Liz, for Carol, for all of us. Just add your own individual name. God's plan of salvation for you. To summarize his plan, God created a perfect world. We disobeyed him and brought sin into the world so that everything became corrupted. God decided to rescue us. He began by calling Abraham to come and follow him and obey him. Soon Abraham's whole family and the generations that followed believed in God. The next step in God's plan was to choose a people, called the Jews, to live in a special land. And so he called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, where they were slaves. As they traveled towards the promised land, God gave them the rules and laws, such as the Ten Commandments. Rules and laws to tell them how they should live, but also to show them that it was impossible for them to achieve. Many years later, God began to tell the Jews through the prophets about the next step in his plan, that he was going to send a Messiah, a Savior. About 200 odd years ago, the Messiah, Jesus, was born. During his life, he taught people about God and lived a perfect life. And Jesus died on the cross on Calvary for our sins. He descended into hell, but then he rose again from the dead and went back into heaven. He opened the doorway to heaven for anyone who would follow him and love him, both Jew and Gentile alike. And Jesus sent his followers out into the world to spread the good news about God's plan of salvation, so that as many people as possible might be saved and get into heaven. God's plan will end when the world ends. Jesus said that he will return to the earth, and when he does, everyone will know that he is God. And then the world will end, and those who have been saved will live forever with God in the new heaven and the new earth. There you go. That's the Bible in a nutshell. You don't need to read it anymore. That's it. One page of A4, the whole Bible. God made it. Adam broke it. Jesus fixed it. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were opposed to God and things looked bleak. Yet God had a plan, a great and perfect plan, because it accounts for our sin and it prepares for us a place of restored relationship with God. Because of the work of Jesus, we find ourselves obtaining an inheritance that is grace. So open your eyes to the fact that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And he's not waiting for you to get started executing that plan. It started before the world was even formed. It doesn't need you to initiate it. God initiates. And God's plan is so powerful and so effective that it never meets an obstacle it can't overcome or some circumstances it needs to adjust or to conform to. When God's will collides with obstacles, circumstances, or people in opposition to it, it is they that are shattered and changed, not God's will. And when we see the cross, we see the greatest opposition to the will of God to be with his people. Here is God with his people in the Son of Jesus Christ, and they murder him. Yet at the same time, we also see the perfect plan of God working itself out to bring God's people back to him. What a wonderful and beautiful paradox. Revelation 13 verse 8 says, it talks about your name being written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Did you get that? The cross. Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, dying in your place for your sin, was the plan from the very beginning. God richly pays the price for our sin so that we can be reunited with him. God knew exactly what was necessary for us to return to him. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for my sheep." Jesus didn't go to the cross wondering if the Father's plan was going to work. He knew what he was doing was purchasing salvation for the people who would believe in him. There were names in his mind, faces in his vision. It was your name, and it was your face. There was no doubt in Jesus' mind. There is a God, our God, who made everything in the universe. And before he made it all, he knew you and all your mess and your imperfection. And he planned for you to be a member of his kingdom by paying the price of your sin with the death and blood of his royal son, Jesus. His sacrificial atonement makes you clean and blameless before a holy God, so that you have an inheritance which includes all the riches and glory of heaven itself. In Jesus' name, all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the fact that you have a plan for us amazes us. Lord, we are so small and insignificant in this universe, and yet we have a place in your plan that no one else can fill. How amazing is your love for us, that you would give your life for us, even though we didn't know you, even though we sometimes reject you and fight against you. Yet such is your love for us that you willingly sacrificed everything so that we could be blessed, that we could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for this great salvation through Jesus' great sacrifice. This we pray in his holy name. Amen.